God damn it, Matt. Shut up. I hear you from here.
It's Monday, September 16th, 2019. It's time for the show that condenses the weekly geek happenings into 60 minutes or less. This is the Noob Shelter Podcast, episode 13. And what the hell are we doing? And it only took him 20 years and broadcasting almost live from deep underneath the city of Tacoma, Washington in the Noob Shelter Bunker. Good evening to you all. I am Matt Fugitive.
From the depths under the not so secret or subterranean lair out here in the outskirts of Federalis Way, I got no links to drop or chat to watch. It's just Freebird.
Woo!
And sitting on top of my ivory throne from my skyscraper in Puyallup, south of everyone else on the show, it's Fade to Black.
And we're gonna, before we get into intros, I do want to talk about something to make the intro a little bit more like, what the heck was that about? Well, you're gonna find out right now, because we actually have some breaking news. It's so big, it's so juicy, it even made CNN. Woo! That's right, folks. It only took that forever 10-year-old kid 20 years. But Ash Ketchum of Pokemon fame finally won his first Pokemon championship, and he is now officially a Pokemon master.
Well, we knew he could do it.
Yeah, you know. Anyways. But yeah, so it's been about
Ash.
It's been about two decades of struggle for the trainer Ash Ketchum. Despite his best efforts, the perpetual 10-year-old has never achieved his ultimate dream of becoming a Pokemon master. But all that has finally changed in the most recent episode of Pokemon the series Sun and Moon, which has yet to broadcast here in the States, but it did broadcast over in Japan. Ash wins the championship competition of the Alola League at long last. The moment finally gives the franchise's main character an official Pokemon League tournament win. So that's the big news, and that's why we threw up that the intro music was actually from the Japanese version of the Pokemon anime, the first one.
Aha.
Aha.
Wow.
Yeah.
The fact that this news, classifies as news on CNN just makes me weep.
Dude,
no,
CNN.
It has been 20 years in the works.
CNN
Ash
has
Ketchum
reported
is
it.
Now a Pokemon master.
Everybody
yes,
has
the perpetual
been...
20.
10 year old.
20 year veteran of being 10 years old.
Twitter has been blowing up about it. So we had to talk about it. I mean, it's part of the video game ethos, and, you know. But yeah, some comments are Ash Ketchum finally became a Pokemon champion after 20 plus years. Which was bigger, LeBron coming back 3-1 against the Warriors, or Ash Ketchum winning his first Pokemon League after a 22-year drought? Somebody quoted saying Ash won the Pokemon League. Oh my God, my childhood. This is how hard work pays off. Never stop believing in yourself. You know, funny, Ash could actually become a motivational speaker now.
You know? Jesus Christ.
They could make an animated version of Ash Ketchum at motivational seminars with the actual voice actor who voices Ash Ketchum motivating people. It only took me 22 years, but I finally did it. Don't stop believing in yourself. You can do
that
it!
That would have to be one of the worst freaking motivational speakers I would have ever heard of.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, okay? We're talking about, like, in an age where Beavis and Butthead both were on the MTV Music Awards and were interviewed by David Letterman. We're talking about the Electric Mayhem, the Muppets band, playing at Coachella. Figuring Dan playing at Coachella, the band from the cantina at Star Wars. They actually had a reunion on stage at Coachella a couple years ago. It's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, hell, we had like a hologram of Tupac. All right. Do you guys remember the Tupac hologram? Whole controversy. That company went out of business after that.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. I guarantee somebody somewhere is going to get some rights and is going to capitalize on this.
I mean, hologram Ziggy Stardust.
Oh, please.
Right.
Ziggy,
if you're going to use it for anything.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, so that was our breaking news. I had to go there. John, what you been up to, man?
This and that. Not too much.
I heard you before we started the show, you were complaining about one of your hot sauce dying.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's just the circle of life in this house for hot sauces.
Well, duh. Oh,
man, I need that sauce. Because
someone on this show is an addict.
They fight the good fight, and then we have a man down situation, and another one steps to fill the void.
Well, you know, Mike, he doesn't smoke cigarettes anymore, so are you still doing the Zen?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. I mean, he's still getting his nicotine, but man, he's got to compensate. He's got to keep that oral fixation going, so he's got to suck on bottles of hot sauce.
Wow, that's not the image I wanted in my head.
I had to go there. I had to go there. Speaking of which, Mike, what you been up to?
Just taking care of work.
As always,
been trying to finish up a couple of campaigns online. I'm hopefully going to be ready in the next week or two to begin running D&D campaigns online. So
nice, very good, very tasty. You got to let me know when they start, and if you can work with my schedule, because I'd like to be a part of that. I already mentioned that. I want to.
Well, I know that. Well, and this is what I was figuring is it could be you, Tiana, and then John and his wife.
Ooh.
So. I mean, four is a good size for a party.
But, man, I don't have a girl to bring to the party. Damn it. Oh, by myself.
I'm running the game, so technically you wouldn't be.
Well, Jesus. Anyways, so as far as I go, nothing going on. Kids started school, yada, yada, yada. Daughter's losing a tooth. She's freaking out. Just my oldest 2 year old actually using the potty now.
Woo-hoo, nice.
Yeah. I gotta celebrate about that one because that's no easy feat. She's actually doing it herself. She said a couple days ago, "I want to use the potty." So the mom in the house took off the diaper, threw the girl on the potty, and she went pee on the potty several times. And has been going nonstop all week. So we're good. We're doing good with that. You know, this was I say week because I'm within like 7 days. So not like at the beginning of the week, because the beginning of the week is yesterday. Whatever.
I was about to say, it's like nonstop for 7 days.
Yeah.
There's a problem with that.
No, she's been going. She started on, it's been about 6 days. She started on Tuesday using the potty. So I'm proud of her. I'm proud of my little Brianna. So. You know, keep on keeping on, my little 2 year old. So let's go ahead and start moving into some crap here. So let's get into some video game news. So the ESA is strongly disagreeing with the UK Commission's finding on loot boxes. This was reported today, too. Earlier this week, the UK's Department of Digital Culture, Media and Sport issued a report. Mike, turn your phone off. issued a report recommending loot boxes and video games be subject to the same regulations as gambling. Okay, we kind of agree with that, which would include content labels on games with paid loot boxes and a ban on selling them to minors. The chair of the committee responsible for the report also criticized the UK's government's position that loot boxes are not a form of gambling. Bullshit! And said that if it wants to maintain that position, it should release a report explaining why. Well, okay, let's stop right there, because we don't really need a report explaining why. When you got a bunch of tweens and bro gamers out there spending their hard-earned cash on loot boxes and getting upset or going around stabbing people or breaking into people's houses or setting fire to things because they didn't get the drop that they wanted, that's considered gambling, people.
Yep.
A very crude form of gambling. It's not like going to the store and buying a scratch ticket or a lottery ticket knowing you're going to lose. It's not going to Vegas with the expectation that you're going to lose your shirt. No, this is a horrid form of gambling, in my opinion. So, So hell with you, ESA, for even like trying to back that up. So, moving on, Yuki, the Association for UK Interactive Entertainment, put on a happy face in response to the report, saying that it is pleased the committee acknowledges that the majority of people playing video games in a positive safe and responsible way, and emphasizing its support for efforts to increase digital literacy. We also welcome, this quoting now, the committee's recognition of good practices, which already exists in the industry, including pioneering community management and technical measures, which ensure players have a safe experience online. This is a lot of brown nosing, yada, yada, yada. We're going to move past that. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of this. The reaction on the North American side of the pond, of course, our side, was somewhat more confrontational. However, we take seriously the issues raised in the UK Parliament Digital Culture, Media, and Sports Committee report, but strongly disagree with its findings, an ESA software representative told the publisher here, Games Industry. As demonstrated by the recent announcement of policies regarding the disclosure of the relative rarity or probability of obtaining virtual items and paid loot boxes, as well as the robust parental controls that empower parents to control in-game purchases, the video game industry is a leader in partnering with parents and players to create enjoyable video game experiences. In addition, numerous regulatory bodies around the world, including those in Australia, France, Ireland, Germany, and the UK, have come to a conclusion starkly different than that of this committee. No, they really haven't. I don't know where the hell they're getting their news from, who the hell they're talking to, maybe their peers who have a skin in the game, you know, somebody that's getting a kickback from these loot boxers or from the game companies. Lobbyists. That's all this shit is lobbyists.
Yep.
The lobbyists have the lobbyists. Sorry. You guys can go now. I'm done venting.
Well, Parliament, the UK Parliament is basically calling for all loot boxes to be banned.
Cool.
At this point.
Cool. I mean, okay. Well, now, all right. So I get that maybe they're going a little too far with it. All right. Here's my opinion, and then you guys can chime in, please. My opinion is paid loot boxes should be 86th. You should get loot boxes based on how much you play.
That's different. Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay. Oh, that's fine. Okay, then yeah, then.
It is specifically just the purchasing, like your FIFA packs, your garbage like that.
Fuck FIFA.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, there's an Ars Technica article about it right at the same time that came out.
Go for it. If you got it, go for it. I want to hear it.
But
anyways, for you guys who don't know, the ESA, of course, represents major publishers such as Activision, Blizzard, Bethesda, EA, Take-Two, Tencent, and so on and so forth, and thus have a vested interest in avoiding regulation. Again, it's a bunch of lobbyists. Now, the ESA, when it was formed, okay, they were cool because they wanted to keep control of the whole rating system. I get that. But now they're just a bunch of douchebag lobbyists. I'm sorry.
Douchebag!
And we don't need them telling our government, what's good for us. We can easily go walk to our capitals and call our senators and representatives and tell them what's good for us. I like what's happening with the loot box. Personally. Mm-hmm. I am 110% supportive of it. Yes, I've partaked in loot boxes, mostly in Team Fortress 2. So.
Oh, the hats.
Yeah, I got not really the hats. It was mostly the other gear. I didn't really get started when the hats were a thing. I got started when all the other gear was a thing. And it's not because like the gear is like OP. You can kick some serious ass in TF2 without any of the special unlocked gear or like purple items and shit like that. You just mm-hmm. got to know how to play and move. Okay. Yeah. So that I think is completely different. I know when I bought those loot boxes that a certain item was not going to buff me. I knew it looked cool and I was okay if I didn't get that cool item. So I had, it was one of the most coveted items in TF2 history. It's no longer coveted because everybody and their dog has got them now. But when TF2 first announced that it was going to Mac, I had a crappy MacBook, the 2008 model, black. I downloaded Steam and launched TF2 on that MacBook. I could barely play, but I unlocked the earbuds.
Oh.
Which you can attach to any character. And everybody was like, oh, I want to, like, I'll pay $100, $200, $300 for those earbuds. I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it because I like the aesthetic. So, anyways, so did you get that article?
Oh, yeah, let me
do it.
I can drop the link over to you. One sec. Oh, you piece of junk.
This is where we probably need a Discord or a chat room now. Oh, wait, you're doing it through Skype-y?
I can, yeah, once.
Whatever's easier for you. If you want to do it through Facebook or through
Skype. I have Discord open.
I don't have a Discord server, and I don't have Discord installed on my.
What am I still a part of?
Oh.
I broke my computer. It's trying to. I think it's because trying to read the hard drive. Give it a second.
This is why we need a chat room.
You have a noob shelter server.
You'll have to forward me that information because I don't even think I have Discord still installed on this damn thing.
I would suggest it.
I think after we tried Discord for doing a live broadcast. I uninstalled it. Actually, I think I have it right here. But see, John doesn't have Discord up, so it's pointless.
Actually, I always have Discord up.
Are you freaking kidding me?
I got Discord on my phone, and I'm pretty sure I can pull that article on my phone real quick. Of course I have Discord. I was one of the first 1,000 people to join it.
Well, don't worry about dropping me the link. Just go ahead and... there we go. Hi, I'm here. I'm in the Discord chat. That was... Even though the updates came through, that was kind of fast.
Well, yeah, Discord actually updates rather quickly.
There we go. All right, there's Fade. Okay, so I guess we got a Discord chat now.
And we've didn't had go
one.
Anywhere.
We've had one, but I forgot about it.
That's obvious.
Anyways, Right Thumb's going to drop the link in the Discord chat, and then I want you to bring it up. So you tell me your... Oh, yeah. FIFA 19 Ultimate Ban. I love that picture. Oh, I should have done that. It's okay. Go.
Can I read it on my phone? Hang on.
He's got a phone hand.
Computers are phone. That's what computers are for. Damn it!
He's got a phone hand. I wonder what he's doing with the other hand. Ba-doom-tsh.
Smacking my goddamn computer.
Laptop, by the way, dude.
Oh, I know. I just need to get down there.
Yeah, sometime.
God damn it, Matt! Shut up! I hear you from here.
What am I doing? I'm drinking my tea.
Oh, sure. Now the computer starts recognizing stuff, too.
I need a time code on that. What was that, 1943? All right, I'm going to write that down. God damn it, Matt. I can hear you from here. That's going to be a good time code.
Specifically regarding the loot boxes being quite ethical and fun and enjoyable to people.
Right.
Parliament responded in their, I don't have their doc, but it says, "This description is notably out of step with the attitude of many gamers who contacted us following our evidence session, including those who vehemently rejected her characterization of packs not as loot boxes, but as surprise mechanics."
I remember that.
One gamer called the company a testimony to us, a barefaced lie. Another told us that a company has heavily marketed and referred to their systems as loot boxes for several years, and the mechanics of the system are exactly the same, no matter what they choose to call it.
Yeah, they're full of shit. Those fucking people.
And yeah, they out the thousands of dollars that people have spent on those just to try and get one character and not getting the one that they wanted.
Mm-hmm. I remember EA was the one that coined the term surprise mechanics. It was actually the name of an episode a couple of podcasts ago. So, yeah, there you have it. ESA
and then people in the gambling industry are saying that they're regulated more and more fairly and better than the video game loot box industry and all of that, too.
Wow.
They're more transparent.
Wow, that is just... Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because for one, they have a third party do all of their odds testing and make sure that it conforms to certain regulations.
Yeah, that is like... Oh, man, that is funny that the gambling industry popped out like that and said that. That's like a complete and total like smack in the gaming industry's face. I love it. It's like, yeah, we got our shit together. What about you? What are you doing? Now, anyway, so let's go ahead and move on to, because I'm triggered.
Triggered
like the millennials. Triggered like a millennial.
Just don't loop me with them.
Apple Arcade launched live for beta testers on iOS 13. A few days ahead of its September 19th launch, Apple Arcade is now live and accepting subscriptions from those participating in the iOS 13 beta program. Bloomberg's Mark Gurman tweeted that Apple's gaming service, which unlocks dozens of ad-free games for a monthly fee, was up and running. Many other people have gained access on devices enrolled in the iOS 13 public beta. Subscriptions appear to be processing successfully, including the one-month free trial that Apple has promised, and games can be downloaded and played immediately. Over 50 titles are available at launch. Now, the arcade works across the iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, Apple TV, and Mac computers, letting subscribers pick up where they left off across all devices. Ooh. All titles offered under the service do not include ads or any in-app purchases. You can see if you've been granted access by opening the App Store and selecting the Arcade tab. So if you have an iOS device, that's for you. You should check and see if maybe you were selected for the beta. That would be pretty cool. I hear that they're doing this right, that Apple got it right. There's a lot of articles, because this just popped today, this information, and there were a lot of articles. So I had to pick and choose. I just kind of figured I'd keep it, you know, keep the article low key. Anybody can go out and Google it, but it's getting some pretty solid reviews. Some of the games that they put on there, from what I heard, I don't know the list of games at this time, but it's people seem to be pretty pleased with it. So, and I think it's only like $5 or $6 a month or something like that.
Huh.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. And the fact, though, and I got to tip my hat to Apple here. I normally don't tip my hat to Apple for usually anything, but the fact that they got this service to work across all of their devices, iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch is still a thing, apparently, Apple TV, Mac computers, that says a lot. That says they put a lot of heart and soul in this. So best of luck to Apple. I'm not going to go buy an Apple device anytime soon. Sorry. I still...
What?
If I need to do work, any kind of Apple thing, I will break out the old 08 black MacBook and boot up Lion and do something.
They put heart and soul. You do realize that the operating system running on iPad, iPhone, and
I knew I was going to trigger somebody.
The exact same.
Yeah, I knew I was going to trigger somebody, but
it has nothing to do with triggering.
Yeah.
I just want you to realize that this wasn't as difficult as you might think it was.
I know it wasn't as difficult, but they actually did it, and they didn't come up with some stupid excuse not to do it. They didn't come up with an excuse. So let's say Xbox, for example. Xbox One and Windows all run on the same operating system. Their stupid phones, when they had their stupid phones, ran on the same operating system. There was still no cross-compatibility like they're doing with all of their devices. Now Microsoft's doing it with their Game Pass service.
Yeah, but...
but it took them forever.
Apple has been doing it almost from the beginning.
Yeah, but with their new arcade service, it's like, bam, it's out of the gate working. Out of the gate working.
Duh. Because they only have one operating system.
I gotta tip my hat to them for that. I'm sorry. I gotta tip my hat.
I mean, give them a nod. I don't know about tip your hat.
Well, the tip my hat.
I didn't give them a nod because it's just ridiculous. To think that this is...
I try not to be the grumpy
operating system.
I try not to be the grumpy old bastard of the show for one night. This is the second night, the second episode that I'm not being the grumpy old bastard, and I'm getting called a bastard.
Apparently.
I'm not calling you a bastard.
I know you're not.
You're calling yourself a bastard. I'm just saying they have the same freaking hardware that they use for practically everything.
I know.
And the same operating system that they use for practically everything, which makes their job in making cross-compatibility, which actually technically isn't cross-compatibility because it is the same operating system and it is mostly the same hardware, that's just ridiculous.
I just like how I triggered Mike, though. I got to give myself a little clap for that one. Anyways, let's move on. talking about new releases. So, Gears of War 5, we've all seen the trailers, I'm sure. We've all heard about Batista.
It's
all right. Or whatever his name is, Zax the Destroyer from freaking Guardians of the Galaxy, making his way into the game. Everyone has been talking about Gears 5. It launched this weekend. You can play it on Game Pass, and it has reached over 30 million players over the last couple days. I'm sorry, not 33 million players over the last couple days. I'm like 30 million. That's a big number. No, 3 million players during opening weekend. So it broke records for the biggest launch of any Xbox Game Studios release this generation. The new Gears title attracted over 3 million people across its opening weekend. This is double the first week debut of 2016's Gears of War 4. It makes it the most played Xbox Game Studios title in the first week since 2012's Halo 4. On PC, Gears 5 tripled the performance of its predecessor, which also makes it the biggest ever launch for Xbox Game Pass for PC. Well, because it just came out on PC, I'm sure something's going to break that at some point. Thanks to the incredible support from our fans, Gears 5 kicked off the holiday season strong. It was Labor Day. Well, I don't know what holiday season they're talking about. Attracting over 3 million players in its opening weekend and setting new records for Xbox Game Pass. This confirms what we heard last week from Nico Partner Senior and Data Analyst Daniel Ahmad. Ahmad called Gears 5 the first mega hit of Xbox Game Pass, noting that it surpassed Forza Horizon 4. Well, fuck Forza. Competitive pricing and recent offers, a large library of games, and access to Microsoft's first party has led to a high number of signups on the Game Pass. So, yeah, I've played the first Gears of War. I have never made it to 2, 3, or 4. I'm actually kind of replaying through Borderlands right now. So,
I didn't play a lot, but the little bit of 5 I did play was okay.
Yeah,
nothing special.
Was it pretty?
Yeah.
Good?
Eh.
I might have to check out some 5. I mean,
I'm a little bit salty about you freaking, because you're talking about playing something new, and I thought you were referring to a character the other night, and I saw you on Borderlands instead. I'm like, motherfucker.
Well, I only played halfway through Borderlands, so I was just trying to pick up where I left off. So, but I'll play something new, but I'm like, I really want to blow shit up. I really want to shoot something. What game will I know that I'll have fun shooting things other than Halo? And I was like, and I didn't want to take a risk on Gears 5. And I was like, yeah, I'll play Borderlands. It's already installed. So that's what I picked up on. So moving on to another game story. So we all know who Mega Man is. And apparently, Capcom is apparently working on a new Mega Man game. It's in the early stages of development. They're not calling it Mega Man 12 just yet. So Capcom's currently re-releasing all of its old Mega Man games. I don't know if you guys have seen this. We have the Mega Legacy Collections, which gives you 1 through 6 and then 7 through 10. We have the X Legacy Collections, which I really want to get my hands on because I think the Mega Man games I enjoyed the most was the Mega Man X series of video games. I played through those. I recently beat Mega Man X. Recently. I've had Mega Man X for years for the Super Nintendo. Never could beat it. There was always one, the final boss, the Sigma's final form, I always had an issue with. I played through Mega Man X 2, beat it. Mega Man X 3, beat it. Never could get through Mega Man X, and I finally got through it about a month or two ago. So, but I definitely want that X Legacy Collections. Now they're coming out with Mega Man 0/ZX Legacy Collection, which I believe is a different side of Mega Man. I haven't played that series yet. I hear it's good, though. Mega Man fans might be wondering what's next for the Blue Bomber and when they're seeing a proper new game for him. So last year's Mega Man 11 was well-received, of course, so it makes sense that we'll see him again. According to series producer Kazuhiro, I don't even not know how to pronounce his last name, the Tushiyaya, who spoke to Japanese outlet 4Gamer. The next game in the series is in the works. The statement is phrased, though, it's not necessarily Mega Man 12 that is being worked on. There are a lot of titles I personally want to work on, but to tell the truth, the next game will be developed. Game to be developed has already been decided on. I just keep the specific details hidden for the moment. Please wait until we make an announcement. So, maybe we're going to get a new Mega Man X game. That would be cool. An X4. Maybe they're going to build on this Mega Man Zero franchise that I've not played yet. Maybe they're going to do something new with EXE. Maybe they're going to give us Mega Man 12. I don't know. But maybe they're going to finally give us Battle Network 7. Who knows? They've done so much with Mega Man, it's just hard to keep up.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Have you guys ever played any of the original Mega Mans?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever
been a long time
old,
for me,
old
but
ones
yeah.
And X.
All the X's or just the one X or the first X game?
Just the first X.
That game was so much fun. I don't know. I just loved how that game was. So moving on to political discourse. We don't really talk much about politics here, but I had to bring this one up. This one caught my eye. So they had a championship in Japan Street Fighter tournament this past week, and a Street Fighter champion gave up thousands of his money in protest of Japanese bureaucracy. Now, I didn't even know this was a thing. A legendary Street Fighter player placed first in what was perhaps the most stacked Street Fighter V tournament ever, but he will only be taking home a fraction of his prize money. That's due to Japan's heavily restrictive laws on competitive gaming and his own personal principles. Yusuke Momoshi is one of the greatest fighting game players of all time, with major victories in various tournaments spanning all the way back to 07. While he has dabbled in other games, Street Fighter continues to be his expertise, and his legacy has continued into the release of Street Fighter V. Last weekend, Momoshi traveled to Tokyo Game Show for the Capcom Pro Tour's Asia premiere. Over the course of the competition, he managed to edge out over 1,000 of his fellow competitors to eventually place first, earning him a huge amount of ranking points towards Capcom Cup's qualification. His monetary compensation, however, has hit a bit of a snag. Owing to its importance on the Capcom Pro Tour, the Asia Premier event featured a big prize pool, with the champion set to take home 5 million yen, or in our money, about $46,000. But the delivery of that prize money would depend on the status as a licensed player. Due to Japan's harsh restrictions on competitive gaming, which the country legally considers a form of gambling, the Japanese Esports Union, which is a thing, JESU, was formed to help competitors make a stable career out of esports. The JESU partnered with various game developers and began issuing special pro gamer licenses to players in 2018. I didn't know this! These licenses would allow their recipients to earn money during official competitions hosted by Capcom, Bandai, Namco, and the like. Without a license, players couldn't take home as much prize money and would instead be capped at about 100,000 yen, or in American dollars, 900 bucks. Imagine winning $46,000 and only being able to take home 900 because you didn't have a damn license.
Ouch.
Wow, I did not know any of this. Man, I love this article. Momoshi has been critical of this licensing system in the past, expressing skepticism that the JESU should be the arbiter of who does and doesn't get to be a pro player. While it is yet to be confirmed, many believe he was the sole holdout when JESU and Capcom offered licenses to 22 top Street Fighter V players last year. Try saying that five times fast. Mm-hmm. Since then, the two organizations have continued to award licenses to competitors who managed to win money at developer-backed events to ensure they receive the entirety of their promised prize. Momoshi has apparently continued to stick to his guns, however, even though these principles have made his ability to benefit financially from Street Fighter competition into a confusing mess every time he gets far enough to earn some scratch. That is fucked up.
Yep.
Douchebag! You know, there was talks. I listened to a podcast a while ago. There was talks about, like, the government possibly issuing podcast licenses. it got burnt, but I stopped and thought about that. I was like, man, I don't want a podcast license. Why the hell would I need a podcast license?
Consider the fact that, a few decades back, they actually required people to get to register and get a license for anyone operating ham radios.
That's true. Isn't that still kind of the thing?
Yes.
Yeah, but it doesn't cost anything anymore.
Yeah.
They're required. There isn't really a license, but they are required to register.
You want to know another licensing scheme similar to this? Over in the UK, you're required to have a license to operate a television.
Yep.
Are you serious?
I am not shitting you. Google that shit. You need a license from the United Kingdom, from England, to own and operate a television. I don't know how much the licensing fee is. I remember seeing it as an aside joke on a TV show I used to watch back in the day. I still have them in digital format called The Young Ones. And there was an episode where the British government was knocking on their door because they had a TV, but they didn't have a license to operate it. So they were essentially stealing free TV. So somebody ate the television. Anyways, but I was like, that's not real. And I Googled it and watched it and listened to a bunch of stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it is real. So It's unclear where things go from here for him. A recent ruling shared by JESU that was translated by a separate party appears to indicate that the licenses may no longer be required to receive the money from esports tournaments for games that are free to play or don't allow players to become stronger with money, pay-to-win mechanics, but is unclear how this will affect future competitions. So looks like he's fighting it, and it's in the system right now. So, yeah, we'll have to see where that goes. That is completely messed up, though. So speaking of messed up, you know our love for Twitch.
Douchebag!
So on Sunday night, Twitch suspended a streamer. And, you know, people get suspended for saying stupid things like Dr. Disrespect, broadcasting from, I think it was CES or E or one of the E3 or something, or I don't remember what it was. Do you guys remember what that was? It was something. Shit. Anyways, but he was broadcasting from a thing, and he was broadcasting out of a toilet, and he got suspended for that because he's an idiot. Well, this person, Kyuko, she is an art streamer. And she was doing a live stream wearing a Chun-Li cosplay. Not at all revealing. Some of her legs were out. But if you guys have ever seen Chun-Li from Street Fighter, she's got the legs sticking out. She even bought a costume just a size bigger so it would hide more of her thighs. You know, her outer thighs and her hips. But no, last night. This was actually last night because this article came out on Monday. Twitch suspended art streamer Kyuko after she live-streamed herself wearing cosplay of Chun-Li from Street Fighter. Kyuko is a small streamer who often draws pictures of from her favorite video game franchises live on Twitch. I think that's pretty cool. Yesterday, she was wearing Chun-Li's signature blue quipao and bun covers, and soon after she received notice of a 3-day suspension for sexually suggestive content or activities.
Douchebag!
Let's stop there. Yeah. Let's stop there. We all know that Twitch, you sons of bitches, they did this with Ninja. Not knowingly, but remember when Ninja left and went to Mixer? They took his page and posted, you should check these streamers out. And there were streamers that were streaming porn, and it took them 4 or 5 days to knock them offline. There's some guys over there, man, that are like, I don't know. Maybe because this poor girl's not showing her hoo-hoos or letting it all hang out, they're going to ban her. It made me think. Let me finish the story. She actually says she bought one size up, like I said, to ensure that the slits on the side weren't too high. That's what they got her on the slits. So I guess she was showing too much leg. Twitch guidelines surrounding sexually exploited explicit content are vague. Duh. Widespread allegation waged by female streamers for years. Attire intended to be sexually suggestive and nudity are prohibited. There's a lot of streamers on there that get away with that shit. So you can fuck off, Twitch. Twitch community guidelines read, for streams like Kyuko's, they are recommended attire appropriated for public settings, such as what you would wear on a public street or to a mall or restaurant. It's a Chun-Li cosplay. Why wouldn't you wear that to a mall or on a street? You wear that to Comic-Con, for God's sakes.
Well, and right? It looks like there's people that go through and flag these, too.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. So, Twitch previously suspended her account after she cosplayed Mai Shirani or something from one of the fighters from King of the Fighters. At the time, she wrote on Twitter that she was banned because she was report brigaded by a popular subreddit live stream fail. I was sexually harassed, she quotes. All I wore was a Mai cosplay while I was drawing. She believes this recent suspension was also due to another group of trolls who have been targeting her and mass reporting her for a while. So she has been branded by certain communities as being a thought. THOT. There is a definition for that, and it is thought, which is a noun, or that. I guess it's how it's pronounced. Thought. I'm not sure. Let's see. ThoughtCon. It was what guys call girls in schools that send out nudes and porn of themselves. An acronym for that hoe over there. Oh, get a life, you fucking kids. Oh, my fucking God. Really? Fucking really? Anyway, so... the shit people come up with. But anyway, so she's trying to contest her suspension. And
if you actually go to that article, you can see the costume.
I've seen I seen the costume. I actually saw the article because I was like, what is going on? Because I had to see it for myself. So after I cartelized the article, I went back to the actual article to see what she's wearing. You can see some of her legs. Apparently, she's probably wearing like some kind of a spandex, like flesh colored spandex underneath there. That's what most people do.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she's not bad looking. But I wouldn't be like, oh my God, that's sexually explicit. So anyways, the text of this article is upgraded. They updated it recently because of the live stream fail subreddit. So that is fucked up. Some fucking people.
Uh-huh.
Fucking bro gamers, man, or fucking douchebags. So I want to get into some movie news real quick. This kind of fell underneath the radar. Nothing bad. This is actually kind of tickling the fancy a bit here. I was just cruising Facebook today, and I stumbled something across something called the Battle at Big Rock. I'm like, what the hell is that? And it apparently has something to do with Jurassic World. So I was like, okay, was this some kind of fan thing or something like that? No. So imagine, if you would, you're enjoying a nice barbecue dinner when you're with your family, when out of nowhere, a couple of triceratops and a bloodthirsty allosaurus, they say T-Rex in the article, but it was a fucking allosaurus. Even the girl said it was an allosaurus. Jesus. When a bloodthirsty allosaurus suddenly upend it all by fighting in your front yard. Let me set the stage for you. This is a big budget production provided by the guys behind Jurassic World. This is official Jurassic World official lore. Done by Paramount and everybody that's involved with Jurassic World. It's a major motion picture release, but it's a short film. Okay? It's about like 5-10 minutes. It opens up with a bunch of people talking in the radar. This takes place after Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Have you guys seen that movie?
Yes.
So you know what happens at the end. The dinosaurs escape, and they're free to run amok. This is about a year after Jurassic World, where the dinosaurs are starting to invade different parts of different countries, and there's radio. You can hear radio news articles, stuff talking about dinosaurs here, dinosaurs there, blah, blah, blah. This is affecting everybody. So we open up on a trailer in a camping ground with a trailer park, with a trailer there, and there's a family. They're making dinner. And they go inside to eat their dinner, and they're looking outside for their neighbor, and everybody's disappeared. Next thing you see is a mama triceratops and a baby triceratops scavenging for food. Out of the bushes comes an allosaurus, thing big as a house. Tries to attack the baby, tries to attack the mom. Daddy triceratops comes out of nowhere and chases the allosaurus off. All three triceratops take off and run away. The allosaurus comes back. Here's a baby crying in the camper. Are you doing the Star Trek fight scene?
Yes, I am.
In the mountain with Kirk? Yeah, I heard that. Anyways, allosaurus comes back. Here's a baby crying. All hell breaks loose. Allosaurus trying to eat the baby with the family. The 8-year-old girl comes out with a crossbow, shoots the allosaurus in the eye. Allosaurus takes off running like a bat out of hell. So this is official Jurassic World release. They released it yesterday. Battle of Big Rock has everything that Jurassic Park fans would want. Family drama, dinosaurs crushing vans, and even a badass 8-year-old with a crossbow. Whether this family will make an appearance in Jurassic World 3, set to be released in 2021, It is unclear. There's certainly no sign of Chris Pratt, Owen Grady, or Bryce Dallas Howard's Claire Deering in the film at all. Battle of Big Rock debuted on FX. It's now available to watch on NBC.com, JurassicWorld.com, and on YouTube. I highly recommend you guys check it out. It was really good. And it was directed by Colin Trevorrow, who also directed Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Interesting.
Yeah, I told you. Big, big budget. Big budget thing. And it looks really good. It's good for a short film. So, yeah, does anybody have anything else to add before we get into the quick shots?
Nope, I don't.
Quick shots! So, a player cataloged a list of games that still have shitty implemented subtitles. Just from playing games. We all know the subtitles they offer are often too small, have weird line breaks, or just don't show up properly. Over on the PC gaming subreddit, user OldJoe911 posted a repository of screenshots of subtitles in games to illustrate the problems that can arise. Showing the examples aren't exhaustive, they run the gamut of the 2000-era game Thief 2 to last year's Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Although OldJoe911 said in the post that more and more games are including subtitles for their games, the presentation remains an issue. So this guy went through a shit ton of games. Yeah, that's pretty freaking... I gotta give that guy props, man. It's like, yeah. Kawiki shot there! Three classic Dungeon Quest titles are coming to the Nintendo Switch later this month. So if you're a big fan of Dungeon Quest, what the fuck was that?
It was a fart cam muffler on a car going past outside. Yeah. Every once in a while.
Moist.
That was the dragon. Let's get it.
Starting on September 27th, Dragon Quest, Dragon Quest II, and Dragon Quest III, three retro releases that originally launched in 86, 87, and 88 are coming to the Nintendo Switch. Square Enix made the announcement earlier today. To find out where it all begins, all three are coming out. You can start with any of the three games, so get ready for Classic Adventures from September 27th. The retro titles will be made available digitally over the Nintendo eShop. They already list all three games and their respective prices. The original, the first Dragon Quest, is going to be $5. DQ2 is going to be $6. And DQ3 is going to be $12.50. So, yeah. All three games launch on the store the same day that Dragon Quest XI comes out. So, hey, ho, ho. Now, if I remember correctly, Dragon Quest in the United States, when it came out, was called Dragon Warrior. Am I correct? I think I'm correct with that.
I don't think so. I've only ever known it by Dragon Quest.
Yeah, I've only ever known it by Dragon Quest.
Let me see. Dragon Quest. Aha, yes, I was right. Dragon Quest, titled Dragon Warrior, when initially localized to North America. Woohoo!
When?
Aha.
Is the first role-playing game, blah, 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 published by Enix in Japan in 1996, Dragon Quest and Nintendo in 1989 in North America. So, 89.
Okay.
I got that game, Dragon Warrior, for free for being a subscriber to Nintendo Power.
Cool. I couldn't read yet.
I could play. I did all right on that game. I didn't get too far, but I did all right on that game. It was my first real
RPG. Germany at that point in time.
What the hell were you doing in Germany in 89?
Being there.
Ah. Quick shot. Minecraft has over 112 million monthly users. That's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of people are still playing Minecraft regularly. In an interview with Business Insider, Mojang studio head Helen Ching told them that the game has just reached this milestone, outpacing all previous projections for how many people are playing the game. That's over 1%, guys, of the world's population. That's a big freaking number that's playing Minecraft. Although we'd have to suspect that some people are playing over multiple devices or accounts to inflate that figure a bit, because it's freaking huge. As of May, the game has reached 176 million sales. So it's fair to assume that a lot of the active users are playing multiplayer with friends or families on copies they did not buy themselves. So, but still, congratulations there, Minecraft. That's a pretty big milestone to hit. We're gonna do a quick shot. Hearthstone pro player lost at Grand Masters match because he was playing auto chess.
You bastards!
Seiko. So if you guys don't know what Hearthstone is, it's a card game similar to Magic the Gathering, created by Blizzard. If you don't know what auto chess is, it's some stupid auto chess game. I've heard of it before, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, Seiko, this guy, was playing a Grand Masters match of Hearthstone on one hand and an auto chess qualifier at the same time, but it led to sloppier performance in the Hearthstone than he anticipated. Seiko was caught out during a tournament match against Elias Bazton Sibelius when viewers of the stream noticed that he was constantly looking down and did not seem to be fully focused on the match. As PC Gamer reports, he eventually threw the match, and viewers were annoyed at the professional player for clearly not being focused. In a since-deleted tweet captured by another Hearthstone player, Seiko admitted to playing a qualifier for Auto Chess at the same time as his Hearthstone match. Why the hell would you do that? Why? Quick shot. This one comes from John. Nintendo Switch wireless SNES controllers are now available to buy. If you're hankering to play the SNES games and you're hankering to play it right, go online if you have a Nintendo Switch online subscription and go buy yourself a pair or buy yourself an SNES controller. They go for about 30 bucks a piece. Limit 4 per customer. Check it out.
You gotta be that Switch Online member.
Yeah, you
though.
Do have to have that Switch Online though, and that's $20 a year. So, not a bad deal. You get to play a shit ton of games from Nintendo and Super Nintendo.
Well,
last quick shot. We started with Pokemon at the beginning. We're going to end with Pokemon at the beginning. That's right, folks. Today, Pokemon Go has officially released their Gen 5 Mons into the wild. Yes.
Pokemon Go.
I've caught one so far. That's because I was busy at work and didn't have time to boot up Pokemon Go. So, Patrat, Lillipup, Lampent, Purloin, Purloin, Piedove.
Oh, my.
Blitzel and Arduino are just a few of the people that have been released. There's another Pokemon called Klink. There's another one called Klink that's not going to be released just yet. He won't be appearing in the wild. They're going to put him out in special raids. So keep an eye on that. And if
how
you're
appropriate,
like me,
they're keeping Klink on lockdown.
Yeah, and of course, you know, just like when Sinnoh released the Sinnohmon. Released, you need a special stone to get some new evolutionary stuff from some of your mons that you currently already have, so you need a Unova stone. Good luck. It took me, well, I think I've been playing since forever and I've only gotten 2 Sinnoh stones my whole entire Pokemon Go career.
Douchebag.
Anyways, so just like it took me 2 months to finally catch a Ditto to complete a freaking mission. I'm done.
Oh my gosh,
I'm done. Is there anything else?
Not that I'm aware of.
We're done. We're out of here.
Yep.
Like lavender. Broadcasting live, almost live, I should say, from deep underneath the city of Tacoma, Washington, in the Noob Shelter Bunker. Good evening to you all. Thanks for tuning in. I am Matt Fugitive. And I want to thank Rhythone and Fade the Black for coming to join us as well. We really appreciate you guys being here. Check us out, noobshelter.com. You can download us on any of your podcast apps. And don't forget to check out noobshelter.com/donate. Throw us a buck. We'll mention your name on the show. And we'll see you all next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And with that, we are out of here. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
And the show mix coming up. I got something special for you all. I hope you're not driving when you're watching this because you're probably going to fall asleep. Well, it's a little something we played back on the Everything Sucks show when I did that many, many moons ago. So.
Oh.
Legacy.
Legacy. Classic.
It was April the 41st, being a quadruple leap year. I was driving through downtown Atlantis. My Barracuda was in the shop, so I was in a rented Stingray, and it was overheating. So I pull into a Shell station. They said I'd worn out my seals. I said, fix the damn thing and leave my private life out of it, okay, pal? While they were doing that, I walked over to a place called the Oyster Bar. A real dive. But I knew the owner. He used to play for the Dolphins. I said, hi, Gil! You have to yell, he's hard of hearing. Also down on his luck. Fact is, he was barely keeping his head below water. I bellied up to the sandbar. He poured me the usual rusty snail, hold the grunion, shaken, not stirred, with a peanut butter and jellyfish sandwich on the side, heavy on the mako. I slipped him a fin on porpoise. I was feeling good. I even dropped a sand dollar in a box for Jerry's squids for the halibut. Well, the place was crowded. We were packed in like sardines. They were all there to listen to the big band sounds of Tommy Dorsal. What soul? Tommy was rocking the place with a very popular tuna, Salmon Chanted Evening, and the stage was surrounded by screaming groupers, probably there to see the bass player. One of them was this cute little yellowtail, and she's giving me the eye. So I figured it's my chance for a little fun. You know, piece of Pisces. But she said things I just couldn't fathom. She was too deep. Seemed to be under a lot of pressure. Boy, could she drink. She drank a lot. I said, what's your sign? She said, Aquarium. I said, great, let's get tanked. I invite her up to my place for a little midnight bait. I said, come on, baby, only take a few minnows. She threw me that same old line. Not tonight, I got a haddock. And she wasn't kidding either, because in came the biggest, meanest-looking haddock I'd ever seen come down the pike. He was covered with mussels. He came over to me and said, listen, shrimp, don't you come trolling around here. What a crab. This guy was steamed. I could see the anchor in his eyes. I turned to him, I said, ah, baloney. You're just being shellfish. Well, I knew there was going to be trouble, and so did Gil, because he's already on the phone to the cods. The haddock hits me with a sucker punch. I catch him with a left hook. He eels over. It was a fluke, but there he was, lying on the deck, flat as a mackerel. Helpless. I said, forget the cods, Gil. This guy's gonna need a sturgeon. Well, the yellowtail was impressed with the way I landed her boyfriend. She came over to me. She said, hey, big boy, you're really a game fish. What's your name? I said, Marlin. Well, from then on, we had a whale of a time. I took her to dinner. I took her to dance. I bought her a bouquet of flounders. And then I went home with her. And what did I get for my trouble? Case of the clams. Think I had a wet dream. Cruising through the Gulf Stream. Na-na-na-na. Na-na-na-na. Hey, hey, hey. Okay. Okay.
get your dick ripped off. That doesn't sound right, does it?